We might have some more stragglers come in yet, but welcome everybody to Caterpillar Inc.'s Journey to Product Support Online. Today we're going to be giving you a bit of introduction an overview of what Caterpillar is and what we do, but really we're going to be talking about our journey that we did as we went from Microsoft Dynamics 4.0 online to on-premise to moving to online. Talk about that journey and what it meant as far as getting the business committed to this, defining what is necessary to have this be successful from having the right support model in place. What we did from our development, during development and the lessons we learned doing it, and how we got trained to be effective so that you could move everybody, because you saw in the title we said 13,000 people we were trying to move. And really the success of it is the actual deployment. What were the lessons learned that we had as we're going through that? And wrap up with a summary and questions. I think we have time at the end. My name is Todd Byrne. I'm the business process owner of our CRM deployment that we have at Caterpillar for our specific instance. I've been at Caterpillar for a bit over 27 years. I've worked in manufacturing, I've worked in service engineering where we help dealers make sure that our product can move, work effectively. I've been a rep in the field to help support our dealers and make sure their operations are working effectively also. And my partner in crime here is John Finney.
Hi, my name is John Finney, and whereas Todd is the business process owner at Caterpillar for Product Support CRM, I own the digital or IT side, so together we are kind of the face. We then integrate with the extended team. I've been with Caterpillar about 21 years. The first 9 years I was in more infrastructure, desktop support, asset management, servers, web hosting, things like that. 2005 I took a team lead position on application development team in dealer systems. Did a couple years in the program management office, and then 2009 joined the Microsoft CRM team and been there ever since.
So we're tag teaming this, but and that's not that is meant to be done on purpose. What we're trying to show here is that to be successful, you need to have the business and IT side work together, and that's really what we're trying to demonstrate here with even this presentation of trying to make it work together. Caterpillar Inc. Started off as Caterpillar Tractor Company about 90 years ago. We're about a $40 billion a year company. We have 100,000 employees that work for Caterpillar. We have over 3 million asset or products that are working in the field across the world today. But really what makes Caterpillar successful is its dealer organization. We have over 175 dealers across the world that are supporting the Caterpillar products in their territory, in their region of responsibility. And they are the ones that are working with the customers that buy our equipment on a daily basis to make sure that it is functioning as it was designed and intended. That relationship between Caterpillar and its dealers, our distribution channel, is incredibly close. It's something that we have had and has differentiated our product and our image across the world because of it. And really what our platform or what our instance is doing is building upon that. We have what is called a product support CRM. So that's our acronym, that's our nomenclature that we call for the system that we're working with. It started off as being in 2003 with being on a different platform, and it really started with the service technical support. So there's a role at the dealership called a technical communicator that can call in and ask questions of Caterpillar when they need help. That goes to a level one person. And we have about 30 of those people from around the world that are supporting those dealers asking questions. But they can only answer about 30% of those. While we're using one module of the CRM platform, the service module, and you think that this is a call center, it's really a little bit different because we have to escalate to the subject matter experts around the company, the level twos, the tier twos that we're escalating to, and those can be located in any factory in the world. These tier ones are escalating to tier twos. And this is how the process started. In 2008, we went to move off of our previous platform to a Microsoft on-premise. And that on-premise solution, CRM 4.0 Dynamics, We added some more processes at that point. We started adding in the parts technical, which supports parts countermen being able to ask questions. We added in goodwill communication to make sure that as we're negotiating goodwill with the dealers so that the customers are getting fair value, they can have that negotiation captured there. We have global warranty support questions. So if there's questions about the policy associated with global warranty or even the technical literature, so if you have parts manuals, all of these are separate business processes is what I'm trying to highlight in our platform. So they can allow different areas of the dealer, different job responsibilities to ask questions through our system. And today we're at 13,000 users, and even when we were on-prem, we were at 13,000 users. About 80% of those are dealer people. 20% of them are internal to Caterpillar, but they're all users and have the full functionality. They ask about 300,000 questions a year. This is showing you the scope of what our application is that we're trying to manage. And this was on-prem, and we were going to move it to the online. And as we're moving it to an online instance, each of those business processes that I showed you, they have an owner that is responsible for making sure that their process and operation works effectively. They have the tier one support at the business process owner level, but they also have the responsibility for ensuring that their people, their dealer counterparts, and the internal tier twos that they're escalating to are trained effectively. I am the business, I oversee all of our PSCRM business side of it. So my role is to make sure that all of those business process owners, that there's standardization, because we're operating on one instance. All of these are separate business processes operating on this one instance of Dynamics Online. So we need to make sure that, that as they are asking level one questions, they can ask it, they escalate those to my team to try to answer it. And John will talk about the other side.
So where Todd's role is on the business side as the governor for the voice of the business, and he can prioritize the business needs, that makes our the IT side or digital side much more effective because we can focus on getting it implemented. So I have a team of developers that does support and level two, level three support for the CRM solution. It's actually mostly staffed by our ISV folks. So you see there in the concentric circle. And then we have, of course, Microsoft provides the product. We have DSE, Dedicated Support Engineer, involved, your technical account manager, CRM Success Manager. We have a lot of different roles at Microsoft that kind of all of this forms our extended team to deliver CRM in the cloud.
So now that you have the process, you understand what the team is that's supporting it, we're getting ready now to go get this deployed, and you need to have the commitment of those process owners. I want them to be engaged during the development process. I want them to help perform the testing that we're going to be doing as we do the development. I want them to own that business training, but to get them to have that be successful, I need to have them all be recognized not only from what they are going to be doing, but their managers have to allow them to be committed to this. So that meant I had to go to each of their managers to say that this isn't going to be just a part-time job that they're going to do. This has to be something that they're engaged with and can provide the commitment necessary. So, and have it be part of their performance review as far as how much they have been able to contribute so that they are allowed and allocated time to be able to actually commit to this. And that was a critical aspect of this journey that we went on, is to make sure that we did get commitment, not just from the people that say, yes, I will do this, but even from their management to make sure that they are allocated the time and resources necessary to be able to get it done. So now we've got the people committed, we've got the process identified, and we're saying, okay, we're getting ready to move, to do this journey from our on-premise solution. Now we just have the 13,000 people we need to get defined, and we have to make sure they're prepared. The change management process to get this done is significant because you have to make sure that everyone understands and is up to speed with you. While yourself, you might not understand it completely. Getting everyone up to the same spot is going to take some work. I've been told that it takes 7 to 13 times for someone to be told something before it finally sinks in. I've always believed it's more for men, but anyway, that's a joke. But my point here is that the change management is, you need to have a place to have this be stored so that you can actually access the information. And we used an online communication tool to help us to store this information. It allowed us a single repository to put all of our training information. It will allow me to mass email out to all users at once. We started communicating 6 months before we went live to let people know that we are going to be moving. This is where they should look for information. So we were directing them to where the location was. It allowed us to have that single location, and it was outside of the Dynamics tool itself so that they could use it before we even went live. And I think that's a critical aspect of us having a smooth transition. So what John's trying to do here is get us ready to show us a video of how this impacts if you aren't prepared. It's a fun short video. All your teams together, you want to be able to navigate and have them work without breaking your existing processes. Getting them all to be on the same team. We had an application going live while we were working, so we still had to make sure we were supporting those. This gives you a different respect for what it means to be a certified operator.
So that's a fun way Caterpillar can illustrate the precision and power that it takes to put a successful deployment together for a software solution. So just to give you an idea on our development process of the scale, Todd already mentioned that we had 13,000 users around the globe that were going to be impacted, need to be migrated from on-prem into the cloud. We had about 2 terabytes of on-premise data that had to get migrated up to the cloud. That was involving the 175 primary dealers, but hundreds of stores related to that, each of those individual dealers. And even though it was about 3 years or so of planning and building business case and so forth, the kickoff to go live was about 10 months for us. So just kind of giving you a feel of the scale of our projects. I'm sure there's larger ones out there, but that's what we had in front of us. So some lessons learned for us, we were able to secure a war room or a team room with whiteboards and conference phone and a projector and so forth, and we tried to have the ISV in there with us and just had ongoing conversations. So again, it's kind of basic, but it was really valuable for us to be able to do that. Make sure, we had one challenge here, but if it's possible, get all your main design decision makers in one time zone, preferably on one location, business analyst lead, technical lead, business process decisions, project managers. We just had decisions to be made, design decisions and compromises and so forth. So if you haven't been through a project like that, be prepared. A conference room can, war room can make that go much faster. With internal IT, as you go from on-prem into the cloud, we had to work with, as it's a new vendor for Caterpillar, our information security officers had to review the data center, physical security, information security, all that stuff, to become an approved supplier. That's kind of the pre-work, again, legal purchasing. So again, probably been through that before, but that does take some time before you're even really ready to kick off. I mentioned before in our extended team makeup that we have a lot of the development staff is the ISV, and so that was the same group that was from the 2008 build, and they were doing ongoing support. We just took that same core team and then expanded and used their expertise as we migrated. So that worked out well for us, and even since then, we scaled down back into operations mode, continuing to use those same people. So from a Microsoft involvement perspective, again, we're trying to share lessons learned here. Probably the biggest lesson learned for us was we went through a pretty good portion of the project. We were under a tight timeline, and we're struggling to get things done because the cloud was new to us, and how do we get it done at Microsoft? And the ISV project lead recommended that we look at a DSE, a dedicated support engineer contract, which in our case we went for, and that was kind of an infrastructure person, a developer person. There was two who deeply learned our solution, and then was a customer advocate for us, was kind of the inside man, if you will, that navigated Microsoft's politics and policies and procedures and knew all the experts, and our velocity just really shot up. So, you know, we're support people, we're not marketing, and we don't work for Microsoft. Really is a lesson learned for us. We've actually, in our case, continued that in an operational mode. We've continued that contract, but for a development project, if you have any time constraints, I would suggest you evaluate the DSE role. Of course, Microsoft offers normal, I mentioned before, TAMs and CRM success managers and so forth. So they were engaged as a company, but that DSE role really helped our project go forward. So from a technical perspective, going from on-prem into the cloud, integrations is a challenge. One of our biggest challenges was we have an enterprise search engine that's crawling, our on-prem SQL database to make that data available to our dealers, sort of as a knowledge base type thing. But as you know, in a software as a service, you can't have direct access to the database. So long story short, we ended up with the solution of using an ETL tool to copy, make a read-only copy on-prem again for MySQL. I think we're crawling it four times a day. But that provided the search engine the ability to crawl. We also have less than half a dozen other systems that needed read-only access, so that met their needs as well. Of course, if you're pulling that amount of data across your firewall, if you haven't been through this before, your network folks will be interested in that, and as you look to move to the cloud, you're moving all that data from inside your intranet out into the internet, and if you need any hybrid integrations, you're going to need to have that evaluated by your network team. So web services as well. So any intranet systems that you had integrations to begin with, we had to work with our enterprise integrations team to, some of them were database, so we had to build web services, but whatever condition they're in, they have to be made externally available. We have an enterprise service bus that made them secure and available to be called from software as a service. We do also have some integrations from our SaaS platform into PaaS and platform as a service. We've got some web jobs running. We've got a storage container. I'll talk a little more about that later. We've got web forms. So we have some submit service request type forms where non-licensed users can access that. So it's outside of the Officer 65. Let's see. So from a security perspective, we at Caterpillar, we have what we call corporate web security. It's just an LDAP-based identity that's used platform independent, but any web security inside Caterpillar is typically protected through this account. So we wanted that identity to be their authentication in O365. We had to work with the directory team, but set up a FIM-based replication of those identities out to Azure Active Directory. And then we used a domain hint because you're in just a generic O365. So if you give it in our case, it's at cat.com, it'll redirect to our corporate login page and it throws you back. So that was how we solved that. From a scalability perspective, when we were on-prem, we'd basically overflown our banks, as a lot of systems do. You grow and you kind of outgrow your current system, and that's where we were. We had async stability problems, we had database performance problems, and on top of that, more business demands that they were interested in adding their process to our platform, and it was just really a bad place to be. So as we went to the cloud, we looked at how can we make this more scalable so we can add more business processes. And we had, as an illustration, the out-of-the-box case entity in on-prem had about 450 fields in one table. So we needed to segregate that. So we came up with this model here where the columns represent what we call event types, but they're basically 8 different lines of business, that types of service questions. And we created custom entities for each of those that are the read-write interaction with the user. And then we use the out-of-the-box case entity, what we call the summary table at the top. There's about 200 fields or so that are common across all of them that are replicated up. And so you can write advanced finds and do queries across all of our product support data in the summary table. But it allows us to customize each of the event types with their unique data needs and business rules and so forth. And then we can just keep adding columns to that. And we actually have, since we've gone live, we've added one already. From a data migration perspective, so another advice that our ISV project manager gave us was that if you haven't done this before, data migration can be its own project. And I didn't understand how serious that was until it was in hindsight. But we had a separate team of data migration analysts that were just working on that alongside the testers and the developers. And of course, we were restructuring our data, so we had a little bit more complexity there. But even without that, just getting a tool that your ISV is familiar with so that they're effective in that tool, not just, we had to, it wasn't our corporate recommended, but we ended up going with the tool they were familiar with for Velocity. And, but then also, just tuning, right? So once they mapped everything and started pushing it through, we had a requirement that, I'm not sure if I'm gonna steer it under here, but we needed to cut over in one weekend because there was no way to phase this in. So the throughput of data migration, we needed to say on Friday they were in on-prem and on Monday morning they were in the cloud. So there was, early on they were projecting it was gonna take months to copy the data in, and so then they had to get through some different migration strategies to get that down, and we did it. So those can be complicated and it's a big deal. I mentioned the storage container in Azure. The cost of CRM storage is, let's just say, more than the storage container costs in Azure Platform as a Service. So we had some customization, but after attached files are loaded into CRM, once a day they get pushed out to Azure Storage, and that saves us a fairly significant amount of money. So just a tip there that we did anyway. So I think we can go to testing. So, also Microsoft, regarding testing, Microsoft worked with the business team to define some happy path type or typical user scenarios so that they could do some performance testing. They also, and that's kind of, I guess, from a UI level where you could involve JavaScript and a lot of other things, but even at the database level, even though this is the cloud, there's you still, or someone at Microsoft still has to go in and do the database tuning of your solution. They have to go in and look for long-running queries, iterate through that. So just anticipate that amount of time in your project. And from a development team perspective, of course, the developers would build it, do unit testing, system testing, get it loaded into QA or UAT, and then we hand it off to the business side to continue their functional testing.
So, you know, the process owners have had engaged in this process up front, helping us get the requirements defined, and there were many debates that went back and forth as we said what was required, what wasn't, for example, especially as they go through different statuses of the form. But, you know, we had the process owners, and we were meeting on a weekly basis with each of these teams, so you know, there was a lot of engagement from it. And as the development team comes and says, here, what do you think of this? We are able to go present that to them to say, hey, is this the way that you want it? And that feedback is going back to the development team. But that first time that you have that screenshot put in front of somebody and they don't understand it, that's your first opportunity to understand what's necessary to develop your training process also. Because there's two things that can happen when they don't understand something. You're gonna send it back to the development team to make it more usable, or you're gonna figure out how to mitigate that situation and be able to communicate it to all of your users from a training perspective. So testing is also the point that I think you start doing the development of your training material to make sure that you can keep a project on task and on schedule, because this is really the best time to be able to get that first iteration of, okay, what do I have to be prepared for? So we were bringing the process owners and into this to help us understand what we needed from having the training development. We also involved all users of our process. So we had dealer people on our team, we had the tier ones, and we had the tier twos. So, and admins, everybody, every role was represented so that we did have complete testing and understood what we were getting involved with. As John said, we went, we did the whole world in one weekend. You know, when I first met our ISV that we were working with, he said, oh, well, for this size project, you're definitely going to do a pilot or phase it in. And I said, no, we aren't. And he said, well, yeah, this is too large. You need to learn from it. And I said, I understand what you're saying, but we aren't going to be able to have all of our different business process people that are all of our users, many of which are using several different aspects of it, do this in segments. A dealer isn't going to have work in one system and then try to have it migrate to another system later, and we can't support two systems at once. We have a hard enough time just with the staff we have supporting one system, and then how to sync up data that's in different sequences would be very convoluted. So he finally did agree with me. I guess we were paying him, so that makes sense too. And you know, we did migrate over a weekend. My lesson here, though, is the first time we tried it, it failed. So we did have very good backup plans and a fallback plan to be able to revert back. You know, we found that there was during the deployment first weekend, we had functionality that wasn't working as expected, and we were saying, okay, we have to go back for one more week. So we got everyone back the next weekend, just recycled it all over again, and we were able to be successful that second weekend to be able to go address the issues that were needed. Deployment is easy. Getting prepared for it is the hard part. The training that we did for it that I mentioned earlier started 3 weeks before we went live. We had over 185 different training sessions that we offered. At the tier one level, we made sure all that training was done by name so that we actually knew that every one of those people had verbally heard what we were talking about. They were sort of a critical part of the process, so identify who are the most impacted people in your process that can help you make this be successful, because they talk to both the dealers and the tier twos on our process. My point is that everybody was involved with this. You know, we even continued training 2 weeks after we went live, so that's showing you how we got everyone engaged in this process.
Well, it's not easy to cram a 1 to 3 year project into a 30-minute overview, but our goal was to try to give you some of our retrospective lessons. One of them was that in the business side, you need to get not only the resources that you need to be involved on IT and business side, but that their leadership has reserved that time for them for the amount of time they need, so you're not just piling on more. That was critical to our success. Again, you need to have the decision makers available to collaborate frequently and for a significant amount of time, depending on the size of your project. And again, we felt like a war room really helped that. Data migrations can be its own project. So, you know, don't underestimate the amount of work that it'll take to get that data migrated, especially if you need to do it all at once. And lastly, the DSC role was kind of an eye-opener for us. I know early on, people were concerned that we wouldn't have the ability to escalate issues within Microsoft, and certainly there are processes for that, but the DSC can really help your velocity and make sure you're aware of your options, and he has, you know, he's effectively, I could say, your inside man and advocate for you, so would recommend that. So in our environment, the next things, we're all web right now, which by the way helped our 1 weekend cutover. We don't have any client support right now, but by the end of this year, we expect to support mobile, and then our enterprise is looking at going to Outlook as its mail client, so we're expecting to need to support CRM within the Outlook client in the future years. From a business perspective, we continue to get new requests to add different types of product-related questions, different business needs, and so forth, on our platform. So we're, the demand, you know, we've built a good tool here, and the demand is coming in. So with that, we're happy to take any questions. That's our quick summary. Is that on? Is this thing on? Can you hear him now? Hello? Try again. There he is.
I got a bunch of questions. Maybe three.
All right.
One, the Outlook client. You didn't run with it out of the box. Can you describe why not?
So Caterpillar is not a Microsoft Outlook shop.
Okay.
So it just...
Okay.
We didn't want to take on the client support, and I'm not really sure our IT would let us anyway.
Okay.
Next
one, obviously 4.0 to 2016.
2015 when we went, yeah.
The UI, the whole process, is, like you mentioned, is completely different. Can
right.
you give us an idea, can you give me an idea how long that duration of getting that whole work stream of the UI changes, the business process, all the metadata. What was that
are
like?
You,
What's the
are
time
frame asked,
just for get there?
Are you asking from a build perspective or
no.
a training?
The
user training.
Agreement with the business on what the flow should be like, what do the screens look like? Were you talking like 6 man months or give me an idea of that size?
You're maybe talking about the design phase of the project.
Yeah.
How long was that? So business analysis to
we started in April and we went through a couple iterations of it, but I'd say that we were pretty set on it probably by June, July.
Okay.
So 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the connection for you guys?
Realize that that's impacted by the number of business processes you have.
Right.
So the
other thing is we sort of, you know, is it hybrid or is it agile or waterfall
is
it hybrid, right? We were somewhere in the middle because we thought we'd go agile, but because we were basically lift and shifting, we knew the requirements, so there wasn't a lot of iterations. But as you said, it's quite a bit different, so there were some decisions to make. So we just probably had 3 or 4 iterations.
I don't know if you should answer this without just me going up. Can you tell me who your ISV was?
I think we can.
Avanade?
It's Avanade Accenture, yeah.
Thought so. Can you tell me, last question, what was the architecture between your on-premise service layer and CRM? Did you guys have a dedicated express route connection into CRM online, or is it all through the public?
You're talking about the on-premise data copy?
Yeah, integration back and forth.
Right. So Caterpillar has I'm actually not in core IT anymore, so to speak. I'm in digital, but the core IT has a integration competency center, they call it. So they have tools that they build all those integrations. And I mean, we can maybe talk offline. I'm not sure how much I should endorse, but we have a product that we use. It's an ETL tool where they just set up an orchestration between the API into Software as a Service CRM, and I think it's four times a day they run incremental updates. And there's a field. This was kind of interesting to us that, and I'm right now forgetting what it's called, but it's not date based. There's like sort of a revision column that they can reference that'll pretty performant to identify changes on a table. But anyway, that's what they're using to pull changes down and write it down to a MySQL table.
But you still have real-time queries somewhere in CRM Online to like a services tier that brings data back, or is most of it copied up?
No, so we're copying from SAS down to the MySQL on-prem, okay. And then the search engine's crawling the MySQL okay. on-prem. Okay. So there's a four, six hour lag. But but there is, of course, advanced find, right? I mean, you can put, we're looking into the BI and, you know, there's some other, what I tend to call it operational reporting. So what it takes to get a service request complete or a case resolved in CRM. And then if you need to do more analytics type stuff, larger queries, I would recommend going to the database on-prem, yeah. Okay. So, it's just a gut feel of separating that kind of.
But you also have a service tier that you call in from CRM Online to get data that's exposed in the GUI, but the source of the data is online. On-prem.
So we don't have. Okay, so we're only moving data from CRM Online down. It's a read-only copy on. So I think you're asking, from a CRM, are we pulling data up through the service layer?
Yeah.
So I may be talking around this. We have some other integrations I didn't necessarily reference into other intranet-based legacy systems. That's exactly right. But not the copy of the data, right?
Right.
There's no two-way.
Okay.
It's just one direction read-only. But yeah, we have other systems where we're pulling data in related to resolving the ticket and or the case, and that's right. Then the enterprise service bus web layer, web service layer provides that data to us.
Cool.
Thanks for your questions.
Other questions?
Any other questions? It's on,
how
though.
How you guys handle, like, so now that you're online,
uh-huh.
and you've made this nice transformation, and you're going from on-prem to online, how are you handling, like, the updates as they come out? Because
it's
always one, right? On-premise was a little bit easier, but now with online,
You
can delay, but you also have
to
have to do it.
Yep.
That's right. We've learned that that you can skip one, but that's it. You have to do the update, and to be transparent, that is the mode we've been in. We've skipped one. We went to Carina. We're skipping Ara, going to Naos,
and that
is a good point. It depends on how rigorous you were with applying your on-premise updates, but. You aren't getting out of that, right? So yeah, you're kind of forced to keep up to date. Although it depends on how you look at that. So if you lag, then you're also, you know, as new technologies coming out, new browsers, new operating systems, and so forth, you're not taking advantage of those. So I guess if I'm looking for a silver lining, right, it forces you to stay up to date with the latest technology and take advantage of the capabilities. So.
Yeah.
You can schedule it now. I don't know if you've. You can choose either. Although it's 12-hour windows, right? It's AM, PM. I guess without being too transparent, but we have a pretty close relationship. Caterpillar has a pretty close relationship with Microsoft, and we have a large instance, and we've actually, frankly, hit some of their limits, and so we end up, or I should say, at least once, we've had them have to do a manual migrate or update to the next. But from the automated scheduler, yeah, you have the 12-hour window.
From the business process side, it allows us to give everyone the confidence that we're staying current, because we really became dated in our on-prem solution, and we were not staying current. People were saying, "Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that?" So this does give a silver lining to the process, but it's costing in the sense that because we have a customized solution, the amount of testing is not insignificant for us to be able to go get validate this and make sure we don't break something. So we do have to have it be right. Its own release each time.
It forces you to plan that in each year, right? I mean, sometimes that's a good thing because you have a business case and they can't prioritize other things on top of it. Say, we have to do this because you can, you know, effectively, you're gonna get it forced and things are gonna break because they're gonna push it to you, right? So it makes a good business case.
The CRM line, I assume you guys have a test instance that you deploy
yes.
all your code through?
Yes,
is that provided free of charge, or did you have to ask for another instance?
I believe you get one, for production you get one non-production, but then we've actually purchased a couple more.
Yeah, you deploy through a whole DevOps process and validation and all
that. We're moving to DevOps. Right now it's got some manual pieces to it, but yeah, it's ALM, right, application, yeah. It's still dev, test, UAT in production for us.
Yep. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Well, thanks for staying.
Appreciate the questions.
Someone has other questions. Feel free to come up here.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You.